just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic, common sense, compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Sunday. I want to thank Tammy Wilson for joining us yesterday. That was kind of a special treat. Not the kind of guest we normally have on, but certainly an important guest to talk to. She is running for the House of Representatives in Ohio, which doesn't really apply to most of us. We have some Ohio listeners out there, but the fact that she's running against Jim Jordan is of special interest to me and most of you, because Jim Jordan is a special kind of piece of shit. He is one of the people that was intent on overturning an election, undermining democracy, and overthrowing this country. And a motherfucker like that's got to go. At the very least, he's got to be voted out. But there has to be some legal ramifications for that asshole as well. And I appreciate Tammy coming on and speaking candidly. It's always tough when you're running for an election someplace. You got to be very cautious about what you say. And I asked her about that beforehand. I said, you know, I know there's a lot of things you can't chime in on because you're running against this clown, but I can say whatever I want, and I hope you aren't uncomfortable when I say those things. And it all went well. It went well, and I hope things go very well for Tammy in the election. Those of you in Ohio that maybe could vote for her, I hope you do. But more than anything, I think the best we can do for Tammy is to keep exposing Jim Jordan for who he is, what he is, and the things he's done. I don't know if the legal ramifications will catch up to him before the election, but he's got all kinds of other issues, embarrassments. He's looked foolish, and more will come out between now and November. So let's hope he gets exposed at least to those people in his district, and they aren't dumb enough to reelect him another time. So thanks to Tammy Wilson. And Tammy said, anything I can do for you? And I said, well, there is one thing you can do for me. When you get elected to the House of Representatives, come back on the show. That'll be a different situation, and it'll not be nice to have a connection into the House of Representatives. So best of luck to Tammy. Thanks for coming on the show. You did a wonderful job, and I know a lot of people listened and were interested, informed, and entertained. All right. We're going to start things out with some emails, as we commonly do. You know, I get some weird emails sometimes, not very often. I get the weird responses on TikTok mostly, but occasionally I get some weirdos on the email too. What emailers have to understand, most of the weirdo emailers, they're not very covert about what they're doing. They're very easy to find out who they are, where they are, and such. So be careful of that, really. You know, I'm not looking to engage with these clowns, but if people persist, I'll have to do what I have to do and turn it over to the proper authorities. Anyway, let's check the normal emails, which is 99.999% of them. First one says, Mike, well, my head almost exploded today hearing Old Soul talking about the people she's currently hosting in her home. What a bunch of crackpot hypocrites. I have no doubt they have personally judged people for having abortions, and they are the very type of people who would protest outside an abortion clinic. Yet the minute their own daughter gets pregnant with their own grandkids, suddenly reality hits, and that embryo is a clump of cells, not a baby at all. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Hypocrisy is big in that group. And to make matters worse, they have to rely on a free place to stay hosted by a liberal Democrat woman of color. Yeah, that must sting a little bit for Dad. Someone they would have probably railed against for many reasons just 1 month prior. Yes, in the hour of our need, these people suddenly turn to Democrats for help. And in 2 weeks, they'll go back to their cultish church and talk to their friends about how horrible Dems are. Hypocrisy knows no bounds. I commend Old Soul for giving them a place to stay and being gracious and polite. I have to say I agree with Old Soul's mom. Sometimes they just need to hear the blunt, honest truth. Good for Old Soul's mom. This reminds me of a boyfriend I had in my 20s. He was extremely Catholic with adopted older siblings. He used to espouse this holier-than-thou pro-life values to everyone we knew. About 5 months into the relationship, I got pregnant. And guess what? He asked me to have an abortion. He even offered to pay half. Half, motherfucker? As it turns out, this wasn't the first time. I found out later that he'd gotten another girl pregnant before me. And you'll never guess, but he also asked her to abort. So the entire time he was preaching to me and others about the sanctity of life, how adoption is a better option, blah, 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 he'd already paid for one abortion and was on his way to another. Needless to say, we broke up after I told him to go to hell. Good for you. So anyway, I shouldn't be surprised that self-proclaimed pro-lifers are secretly having abortions. It's probably very common, but it still makes my blood boil. Thanks to you and Old Soul for a great episode. It was a good reminder for me not to trust anyone in these insane cults. Sincerely, Vicky in Colorado. That's an all too common story, Vicky. You don't hear about it as much because they don't talk about their own shit. They're big on judging other people, but for whatever reason, they think they can do whatever they want. They're above it all. They can justify committing the sins that they tell other people or they accuse other people of doing. It is frustrating. I understand that, Vicky, and they are fucking hypocrites. And even when they're exposed, they don't own up to it. That's what it is with Republicans. You can show them with actual evidence of any crime or corruption they commit, and they just double down and say they didn't do it. People like you and I know what the fucking deal is, but unfortunately, there's the base that believe anything. And even if they don't believe it, they think it's for the greater good, and they'll go along with the lie. All right, the next one. Hello, Boomer. I hear you speak confidently about Trump's April 15th trial in New York. And yes, there is no way he should escape 30 felony charges. I agree wholeheartedly. What has me concerned? Just one rogue juror to throw a wrench into those convictions, a mistrial, something of that sort. Please, Mike, talk me off that ledge. I think I talked about this from Allison before. You know, there's always a possibility of a rogue, juror. But as I said the other day, this is New York. It's not Alabama. So the likelihood of that is less. Secondly, there's a lot of peer pressure in those juries. And you have to be a pretty strong person to hang a jury in those situations. And lastly, just because you get a hung jury or a mistrial doesn't mean it's all over. They can just start a new trial. Yes, it'll take more time, but ultimately justice will prevail. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Again, Allison, I know you're looking at all the angles and trying to cover all the angles, but all too often we look too hard for the things to worry about that may not be anything to worry about. So don't worry about shit like that until we get there. It'll fuck with your head. You start worrying about stuff on speculation in the future. Just take it a step at a time. Let's get them in the trial. Let's get the case going. Let's get the evidence happening. And then when it gets to the jury, we'll decide whether we think we have a problem. I just don't think we're going to have that problem. All right. Thank you, Allison. Next one says, hi, Boomer. Let's review the basis for you being the steady rolling Boomer. All right. This comes from Garage Door Jeff. He called me the steady rolling Boomer, and I didn't understand the reference. So now he's going to explain it to me. The original song was written by blues legend Robert Johnson. Yeah, he's the one. The first two lines are, I'm a steady rolling man. I roll both night and day. Later in the song, we see that he rolls regardless of weather. He's been rolling for a long time, and he intends to continue to roll indefinitely. Later, our man appears in both Led Zeppelin and Bob Dylan songs, where his attributes seem to be consistency, resilience, and determination against ever-changing obstacles and sorrows. Now we get to you. You do this show every day, no matter what, even coughing like a lunatic, because as you literally explained, you aren't a pussy-ass bitch. You are one stubborn cuss. Well, I'll have to give you that. I'm up early and see your show hit the queue every morning. As best as I can tell, you finish the thing after midnight most days, sometimes as late as 1 a.m. But more than that, you seem to have that attribute of being a person who starts fresh every day. If there's a grease board of worries and squabbles that we each keep in our heads, you seem to wipe yours clean every day. You just keep rolling. And I think that your consistency, durability, and daily refresh, if you will, attracts many of us to your content. So you see, my young friend, thank you for that. There was no dig in there at all. The character of Steady Rolling Man is admirable. He's a motherfucker that ain't going to quit going forward no matter the hardships. Best Garage Door Jeff. P.S. Like many boomer white guys, I listened to tons of blues in my youth. Saw most of the legends perform live. The lesser-known Sun Seals was my favorite, but not so much anymore. Kind of morph more towards African music. I can listen to Hugh Masekela, Grazing in the Grass, for example, all day long. Well, Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Excuse me, I had to cough like a lunatic. Thank you for that. I've always been kind of a determined guy, but when I went into this in TikTok and the podcast, there's a strategy to this. I realized that I wasn't going to come in and get a million viewers just like that. I realized that, you know, my looks or my talent weren't going to be my strong point here. So I had to be determined, tenacious, and consistent. I mean, from my experience in radio, consistency is the key. I was a traffic reporter on a radio station for quite a number of years. The traffic's not the most exciting thing. The only reason I did it is because I had to pay the bills and feed my kids. Wasn't what I wanted to do, but it was close. So that's why I did it. And I learned something in that effort. Being a traffic reporter, doing a report every 10 minutes for over 20 years, people become accustomed to you. They get to know you and they start counting on you and they trust you. And, while I can't dance, I can't lip sync, I can't be a thirst trap, I can be there every fucking time you open up your app. So that is part of my strategy. And as far as coming in sick and doing it even if I'm down, that's something I had to do as a traffic reporter. I had kind of a unique skill and I was the only one doing it. When I get up in the morning and I'm sick, I had to go, had to do it. So that's nothing new to me. And the other interesting thing is you said, I get up every day and I kind of wipe away all of what happened yesterday and we start fresh. And that's absolutely true. And that is something I taught myself to do over the years. My attitude is this, anything that happened yesterday or later doesn't matter. Nothing I can do about it now. I got to focus on today. If anything, I have one talent for compartmentalizing. I don't think about a lot of things and agonize over them because it's going to do nothing for what I'm doing now. So I do have a way of letting things go and focusing on what I've got ahead of me. And that's a skill, I guess you would call it, that most people don't have. They're in their head too much. If you can worry about only those things you can control and disregard those things you can't, and of course anything in the past is something you can't control. It's happened, it's done, forget about it, move on. I know that's easier said than done, but somehow I've trained myself to be able to do it. And frankly, it helps me a lot. It keeps my head clear, keeps me focused on what's next, not what happened yesterday. All right, thank you for that, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thank you for the clarification that it wasn't a dig and was, in fact, a compliment. Thank you. All right, the next one comes from Gussie. Gussie says, hi, fellow boomers. Hi, fellow boomer Mike. I have a question to present to the Trump humpers. If you were drowning and only two people were close enough to save you, Joe Biden and Trump, which one do you believe would try to save you? Remember, you don't have time to pay Trump off. Well, that's an easy answer. Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck about anybody else. And he would be like squealing like a little pig trying to save himself. Point taken, Gussie. All right, the next one. Hi, Mike. I have an important message for all Republicans out there. With the upcoming solar eclipse coming our way this next Monday, Republicans should not listen to science or any authorities that says to protect your eyes. This is fake news, a hoax, a witch hunt, as was the vaccine for COVID. True Republicans don't need any protection. It's all a woke Democratic scam. They should be able to stare directly at the sun freely. Everything will be fine. Real strong Republicans just need a little prayer, and they will see the light. Panzer. Wonderful PSA. I know we don't have a lot of Trumplefucks listening to the podcast, but those of you that do, don't compromise yourself by following through with whatever you do because science told you. You're a patriot. You're a free American. If you want to look at the fucking sun, you can look at the fucking sun, and I hope you do. So give it a shot, and then later let us know how it went. All right, this next one, this one came off the podcast website, and it just caught me kind of funny. This guy's name is Peter. He says, I don't know who you are. I love that you bring uncensored facts in straightforward, blunt manner. We must have a new listener. He doesn't know who I am. I'm here all the fucking time. But Peter, thank you. And I hope you continue to listen and will continue to be straightforward and blunt. All right, the next. Good morning, Mike. Oh, wow, another poor child that's been abused by a scumbag, but this time in a church. Talking about old soul story. How can people be so dumb to say our church is a good church when they allow pedophiles in the church? It's an excellent point. We are only 2 days behind right now, but this one is making me mad. How can a church teach a child that shit? Well, because they're not teaching children. They're covering their asses and their income. And that's the problem I have with churches. That's the problem I have with politicians. It's all about what's in it for me when they're supposed to be serving others, whether it be a church or whether it be our politicians. But because they're weak, they lack integrity, and there's greed, it's about their pockets first before kids, adults, whatever. And that's all too often the case anytime you have humans running any kind of organization. That's why I don't go to church. And I'm not saying there aren't some good churches, but the ones I've seen are not. Funny thing with God is you can go to God directly and you don't need a minister, a pastor, a priest, or anybody to get you there. And you don't need to pay tithing and you don't need to pay an offering every week to save your soul. Anyway, the email continues. If one of my kids came to me and said someone was messing with them, I would in no way allow that scumbag to run free on the streets. Thank you, old soul, for helping women, especially young girls, in the situations they are in. Well, I hope you get better, Mike. My youngest daughter was just down in Savannah for a few days before our latest nor'easter. Have a good day. Billy and Jamie from New Hampshire. We know about Billy and Jamie. They're up in the New England area. Always good to hear from Jamie and Billy. All right. Next one says, Dear Rational Boomer, being from Ohio, I listened with great interest to your interview with Tammy Wilson. It goes without saying anyone who's paid attention to politics would dearly love to see Jim Jordan defeated. I likely have no direct means to offer advice to Tammy, but I'd like to point something out which she may be aware of, but unfortunately didn't mention. The Ohio Supreme Court has stated that our maps are unconstitutional, gerrymandered for the past 5 years, and for 5 years, those in charge of redistricting have clutched their pearls and screamed. But it's too close to an election to do anything right now. much like the reproductive freedom petition that was circulated last cycle, there's presently a citizens, not politicians, petition available for signatures that would put a bipartisan group of citizens in charge of drawing the maps for Ohio. If we gather enough signatures, the initiative will be on the ballot in November, and we can force their hand on this matter. As a member of our County Democratic Central Committee, I have been working to gather signatures, knock on doors for candidates, participate in fundraising events, send postcards, show up at a protest, and do what I can to effect change. It's an uphill battle being a blue dot in a red county, but I see us becoming more purple. Anyone interested can go to citizensnotpoliticians.org, citizensnotpoliticians.org, for more information and find out where they can sign. Best of luck, Tammy Wilson. I also can't wait for her to win so she can call MTG a bitch. Yeah, Tammy seemed pretty open to that concept. She liked that idea. And Tammy seems like just the kind of gal that would do that. So she's got my vote, even though I can't vote for her. It was nice to have Tammy on, and I hope to have her back. I told Tammy, I said, you know, we have a pretty casual situation here. If sometime between the, excuse me, now and the election, just email me, say, Mike, I want to come on, and we'll put you on. I had a good time talking to her. She had some valuable information, and this is certainly a race we are all concerned about. All right. Donald Trump on Saturday shared a video that purports to be about his virtues. That's a good one. But political onlookers said it is more than that. Trump posted the video on Saturday titled Trump's Virtues. Well, that's an oxymoron. The video opens with Thomas Klingenstein, self-identified as a writer, a playwright, and an investor, calling on those who can't stand Trump to support the former president nonetheless. You're espousing your virtues, and you got a guy coming on saying, even if you don't like Trump, you got to vote for him. Former federal prosecutor Joyce Vance sounded the alarm about the video hours after it was published. This is an utterly astonishing message for a candidate for the presidency to embrace. And just a clue, it's not about virtue, she said on social media. It starts with a command, even if you can't stand Trump, you must get behind him. Has any candidate ever run like that? Well, it gets worse. Attorney Daniel Miller said Trump is threatening violence on Americans. Now, this isn't new news. We know this is coming. We know what he's doing. But he's acknowledging that he's got a lot of people that don't like him. And he's saying, even if you don't like me, you got to vote for me to save this country. Yeah, good one, Donnie. That's going to work. Even though I'm a piece of shit, please make me president. Now, it goes on, the quote goes on, we are in a war fighting an enemy of revolutionaries that kick and spit on America. The war is a contest between those who love America and those who hate it. But we do not have a commander in chief. You can't win a war without one. The lawyer quoted from the video. Now, former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid called the video a masterclass in disinformation tactics. You see, that's the point here. And this appeals to the Trumplifucks. Oh, Donnie might be an asshole, but you got to be tough out there. You got to save America. You got to protect us from the brown people coming across the border and all terrorists. And only Donald Trump can do that. Yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit. I don't know that I would call that a masterclass. That is a desperate attempt to try to spin a bad situation. They know a lot of people don't like Donald Trump, and they're trying to get votes for him. That's fucking brilliant. It won't work. It won't work. It just can't work. But Donald Trump is desperate. And as I've said so many times before, when you get a narcissist who's desperate, they will do the craziest shit. They will say and do virtually anything. And it keeps getting worse and worse every day. And it's not going to get any better until November or when Donald Trump drops out of this shit because he gets crushed by all the stress and strain. All right. Now, during an appearance on MSNBC's Katie Fang show, MSNBC host Ali Vesey claimed that the wheeling and dealing of the stock issued by Trump Media and Technology Group, which trades under the ticker DJT, is likely drawing more than normal amount of scrutiny by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. It's interesting how that's played out. The stock has dropped like a rock. We find out that the company lost $58 million last year. It's not really a legitimate company in that sense. It's certainly not one that should be on the stock exchange, and certainly not one that anybody with any intelligence would actually invest in. But here's the thing. There's another problem. We didn't hear about the losses with the company until after it showed up on the stock exchange. And the reason it showed up is because they are required to. They had to. Now, it would have been good information for people to get that before they invested their life savings into it, but they didn't do that. Now, they're going to have to prove it, but if they find out that Donald Trump, his partners, and his lawyers were trying to pull a fast one, well, that's against the law, and that's going to be a problem, and the SEC is going to be in their shit. Now, Velshi started out as a business reporter on MSNBC, claimed he had been closely watching the price plummet and the lawsuits tied to the company play out in the press, and there should be cause for concern that not everything looks above board. Oh, there's a surprise, Donnie Trump and all these dumb fucks, and it might not be above board. Yeah, I'm guessing that's the case. After first taking a shot at the stock centered on the lackluster performance of Truth Social, which caused the value to go into free fall, he claimed it didn't, for the moment, see anything Donald Trump has done that would have him in trouble with the SEC, but there should be concerns for investors. We know the FBI is involved because these two guys who were insider trading told host Fang, we're not sure what the connection is, and we're not sure whether Donald Trump or anybody in the company knew about it. Oh, please, motherfucker, you know he knew. That said, the SEC does have rules, and nothing Donald Trump does generally sounds like a guy who's equipped to follow those kinds of rules. He continued, so I would imagine that the SEC is looking at it very closely. I have been studying it closely. There is nothing I have seen that is clearly an SEC violation, but it's awfully messy. And that's so common with Donald Trump. Things are always messy. Things are always chaotic and confusing because there's no substance to it. They have to do a smoke and mirror game in order to pull the shit they do. How they were able to get this far and get this on the stock exchange just amazes me. Anybody with the smallest amount of ability could say, you know, there's something fishy here. Maybe we should look at this a little while longer. Bottom line here is with all that's going on with this particular stock and where it's headed, it's going to be a penny stock eventually. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that shakes out on this thing. There's going to be some people in trouble. There's already people in trouble. But here's the deal. Everybody kept coming to my page, all the Trumplevox, saying, oh, he's going to make $6 billion. He's going to redeem himself. He's going to be rich again. Now what are you going to do about it? I'm going to tell you right now, Donald Trump will never, ever get a chunk of money out of this fucking stock. He's got to wait 6 months to get anything, and by then, it won't be worth anything. Not to mention the fact that there are auditors that said this company is in such financial straits that they should shut it down. I suspect that's ultimately what's going to happen. It's going to be forced to be shut down, and of course, it'll fall off the stock exchange. Now, the quote continues on, if you're going to run a public company, there are actual rules if you violate them. The SEC will come after you. Yeah, no shit. I don't know what it is. Everything that I've talked about right now seems to be legal, including TikTok investor Jeff Yass involving himself in this company, possibly for the benefits of his TikTok stocks. But I would assure you, there are some people at the SEC who are watching it closely. Yeah, I don't fucking doubt it. There's some fishy shit going on there. This isn't a real company. This is a meme stock, as I've talked about before. And people say, what do you mean meme stock? It's kind of like the GameStop thing where they artificially hyped it up, made some money, and then it dropped like a rock because it really had no basis. GameStop was a losing cause. But some people got together, you know, they gamed the system, and they artificially pumped it up. Now, there are some laws against that. That is, in fact, fraud. And what they did with Donald Trump and this particular stock may be some fraud involved. Donald Trump goes out every day and he's talking about how strong the stock is and you must invest and it's a strong company. Fact of the matter is the company is not strong. It lost $58 million last year. So Donald Trump's up there lying his ass off. I don't know if that's illegal, but it's not good. And the people investing in this stuff are not going to be fans of Donald Trump in short order because they're going to lose all their fucking money in that ridiculous meme stock. All right, we are going to take a quick break and we will be right back. On every show, I tell you that if you have questions, comments, or complaints, just reach out to me at rationalboomer@gmail.com. Those emails come directly to me, and your input is crucial to this show. The show is called Rational Boomer Podcast, but that's not to suggest that I'm the Rational Boomer. I am not. I am simply a Rational Boomer. All of you are Rational Boomers. Anybody of a like mind is a Rational Boomer. Strength comes in numbers and not through an individual. You have perceptions and insights that may have never occurred to me. This isn't a show about me. This is a show about us and gaining a voice in this country. There's 70 million baby boomers in this country. Yeah, I know the younger folks would prefer to push us aside. Every generation has done that. But we are a formidable force if we can get together and speak in one voice. This is why I encourage you to let your friends and family know about the Rational Boomer Podcast, not to satisfy my ego, but to give us more power, a stronger voice, to help right this ship we call the United States of America. Lastly, I'm offering the opportunity for my listeners to be on the show. Now, it could be 2 minutes, it could be a half hour, it could be the whole fucking show. I'd much rather have you on the show than somebody pimping a podcast or a book. I want to hear what you think. I want to know what you know. The Rational Boomer Podcast is all about us.
Before we move on to the next story, it's a doozy. I wanted to bring something up. I was just thinking about it. You know, when you're old people like me and some of you, we aren't known for spontaneity, you know? Just say, fuck it, let's go do something. My wife and I have become more like that because we have more time. And if we want to go someplace or whatever, we just do it if we can. Now, we've got this eclipse coming up. Now, where we live in Minnesota, we won't be able to see it, not fully anyway. So everybody wants to go to those places that you can see it. And I was looking at the track, telling my wife, I said, you know, the closest place to go to might be Indianapolis, maybe Dallas. And she goes, oh, great, let's take a road trip. I said, are you high? A road trip? You want to leave today, Sunday, and then come back Monday after the eclipse? That's crazy. You know what's even crazier is you work for an airline and we can fly someplace for fucking free. Why would we get in a car and drive 10 hours to go watch an eclipse? I'm not even that interested in it. But if you want to go, I'm not going to let you go alone. So I started looking at some schedules for airlines and stuff, and I found that we could actually fly to Dallas today, Sunday, and come back Monday night. We could see the eclipse, come on home. And then I started kind of getting into it. I said, it'd be kind of fun, just fly down there and fly back. It's not that far a flight to Dallas from Minneapolis. It might be fun, especially if my wife wants to see it. And I was talking to my son about it, and he goes, Yeah, you're not doing that. I go, what do you mean we're not doing that? We'll do whatever the fuck we want. He said, why would you do that? That's crazy. And my wife said, that's the point. We're old and we've got some freedom, so let's fucking do it. And I could see he was thinking. He kind of thinks like me in many ways. And he looks at me, he goes, how's the weather going to be down there? Well, I don't fucking know. Why? He said, because if it's cloudy, you ain't seeing shit. I go, oh, never thought about that. So I go check the weather for Dallas for today and tomorrow. Fucking thunderstorms. So we'd fly all the way down there, never seeing anything. So it pays to think about shit before you get crazy and get too spontaneous. So we're not going to Dallas today. That said, I think we're going to, I'm pretty sure we're going to Savannah on the 15th of April. My birthday is the 16th of April, so we'll be in Savannah for that, and that'll be fun. And we'll be doing TikToks and podcasts from down there as well. All right. Enough of the behind-the-scenes information. All right, this next one. You know, Donald Trump has a gag order with Judge Juan Marchan. He's been sued twice for defamation of character, losing both times, the first time for $5 million, the last time for $83 million, and he's had to since post a $91 million bond. So you would think somebody of reasonable intelligence might, I don't know, maybe learn a fucking lesson. Not Donnie. Donnie's feeling the pressure, and he doesn't know what to do. So the only thing he knows how to do, the only thing he's capable of doing, is flapping those big, stupid lips. So former President Donald Trump wrote a series of posts on Truth Social Saturday complaining about the myriad court cases against him, plus the judges, the gag orders, and the mysterious lady. He didn't say her name. I think he thinks he got away with it by not saying her name. But the mysterious lady, E. Jean Carroll, he's been forced to contend with. He also compared himself once again to the late South African leader, Nelson Mandela. That motherfucker doesn't even know who Nelson Mandela is or why he was in jail. So to compare himself to that, well, it's better than comparing himself to Jesus, but not much. It's still not even close. Now, the first post addressed Judge Juan Marchan, Judge Lewis Kaplan, and the mysterious lady who said rape was sexy. Crooked Judge Juan Marchan is not allowing me to talk, is taking away my First Amendment rights. He's got me gagged because he doesn't want the facts behind the gag to come out. How many corrupt, biased, crooked Joe Biden Protection Agency New York judges do I have to endure before somebody steps in? Well, who is that somebody, Donnie? The DOJ? Doubt that's going to happen. This sounds like a call to action to some of your dumbass Trumplafucks. I don't know if they're good with subtlety, though. I don't know if they'll get it, Donnie. You might want to come out stronger with that. Donnie goes on to say, I had a New York federal judge, Lewis Kaplan, with a woman who I never knew and had nothing to do with until she sued me for defamation. She did not know what day, month, or year that supposed incident took place. She knew nothing. Kaplan, a Hillary friend, wouldn't even let my lawyers put on a proper case, made it two cases instead of one, took away my American right to defend myself, and was a crazed bully as his wife and friends sat in the courthouse every day in their little roped-off section and prodded him on in awe. This mysterious lady who said rape is sexy got $91 million. Now, honestly, I think Donald Trump thinks, I didn't mention her name, so she can't do anything. Well, you identified everything around her case, the judge, the amount, her lawyer. You think that's going to get you out of it? I tell you what, that attorney Kaplan, that lady attorney for E. Jean Carroll, she's going to get you again, Don. They went from $5 million. They realized that wasn't enough to shut you up, so they hit you with $83 million. What do you think they're going to do next time? Double it? Triple it? Quadruple it? You think $175 million's a bitch?
wait till this defamation case gets finished when she brings up a third offense, because you clearly did it. You put it on Truth Social. The second post took aim at whack job Judge Arthur Engoron and the racist, corrupt New York Attorney General Letitia James. This is what he said in page two. Then, of course, we have Arthur Engoron, a total lunatic whack job, who ruled that I should pay an almost $500 million fine for having done nothing wrong, no victims, no damages, ironclad disclaimers, only success. I love the ironclad disclaimers thing. Here's my stuff. Here's my taxes. But just so you know, there's a disclaimer on the front that said none of this may be true or real. You'll have to investigate it yourself. That's going to save them. Nice. He goes on to say, in fact, he was the one who committed fraud when he purposely, at the direction of racist, corrupt AG Letitia James, undervalued Mar-a-Lago at $18 million. He keeps saying that, but that undervalue claim is ridiculous first, and that isn't even the crux of the fucking problem. He undervalued and overvalued so many things for his benefit. The Mar-a-Lago thing isn't even important compared to all the other shit he's done, but he doesn't get that. He's still whining about that. Then he went back to Judge Juan Marchan again before wrapping it up with the audacious comparison to late South African leader Nelson Mandela, who was jailed for 27 years by the apartheid government. I'm sure somebody like that creep Stephen Miller came in and says, yeah, use the Nelson Mandela comparison. They'll love that. He's black. Fucking dummy. Trump initially made the claim of becoming like Mandela at a New Hampshire rally last year, declaring, I don't mind being Nelson Mandela because I'm doing it for a reason. What, do you mind spending 20 plus years in jail like Nelson? I tell you what, let's give it a try and see how you do. Now, page three. Now we have Marchan, who is not allowing me to talk, thereby violating the law and the Constitution all at once. It is so bad what he is trying to get away with. How was he even chosen for this case? How was Aileen Cannon chosen for her case? I heard he fought like hell to get it, and all the rest of them also. If this partisan hack wants to put me in the clink for speaking the open and obvious truth, I will gladly become a modern-day Nelson Mandela. It will be my great honor. We have to save our country from these political operatives masquerading as prosecutors and judges, and I'm willing to sacrifice my freedom. Yeah, you ain't sacrificing jack shit for the worthy cause. We are a failing nation, but on November 5th, we will become a great nation again. Make America great again. You can almost smell a flop sweat just beneath the shitty diaper. This guy is fucking terrified. Now, Trump's rant came in the hours before he was scheduled to host a fundraising bash at Mar-a-Lago that's expected to bring in a record-breaking $43 million. And actually, I'm going to talk more about that. They upped it to $50 million. Now, the question is you've been having trouble fundraising, not getting enough money. Joe Biden gets $25 million. Now you say you're having $43 million in fundraising. Excuse me for saying so. I don't believe you, Donnie. You tend to lie. Let's see the records of that to prove it. So again, they upped it. He's expected to rake in roughly $50 million at a Saturday night fundraiser, doubling what three Democratic presidents recently brought in for President Biden's reelection campaign war chest, a campaign official confirmed to The Hill. I love this. They report that he's going to get $50 million. How do you know that? Because he told you? And if Donald Trump or somebody with Donald Trump's staff told you that, do you believe him? After all that's happened, after all that he said, after all the lies, you're still going to believe him. See, that's what the media does with Donald Trump. He says it, and they believe it like it's a fucking fact. Well, nothing Donald Trump says is a fact. It's always a lie. And we know it's a big deal for him that Joe Biden beat him with a record fundraising effort of $25 million. So now he's got to beat it. The interesting thing is, once he gets his $50 million, will we see it in ads or in something else? Or will it be funneled into his legal fees? Or will it just not exist? This is all about Donald Trump's ego. Everything's been about Donald Trump's ego. And in the end, it doesn't mean anything. This is what Don worries about. He worries about bullshit that has no impact. Dude, you're going to a criminal trial on April 15th. Whether you had less of a fundraising effort than Joe Biden or not really is not fucking important at this point. You've got bigger fish to fry. But he doesn't get it. Now, the private fundraiser will be hosted by hedge fund billionaire John Paulson in Palm Beach, Florida. That's interesting. Now, in the last quarter, Joe Biden fundraised $190 million. $190 million in one quarter. That same quarter, Donald Trump has fundraised $90 million. So whether you break a record or claim to break a record or not, you still only fundraised half of what Joe Biden's done. The other thing about Joe Biden is that 96% of that money that came in, that $190 million, is from small money donors under $200 million or $200 donation. It's interesting that a hedge fund guy would be running his fundraiser. And the thing about it is, I think he's even charging people to get in. That's the crazy fucking thing. But you got a hedge fund guy. If you're looking at support for a candidate and you've got $190 million collected by a bunch of people, a bunch of nobodies like you and me, at $200 a pop, that says more about support than maybe some hedge fund guys, four or five hedge fund guys, giving him $50 million to try to beat her fucking record. See, that's the thing. When it comes to support for Donald Trump, you don't worry about the polls, because we don't know who's doing the polls, questions they're asking, what their agenda is. It can all be tilted one way or the other, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. When it comes to finding out who's got the best support, follow the money. Who's getting the most money from the most people? Joe Biden's got twice as much money, and he's getting it all from small donors. So if that's the case, is Donald Trump's support really that strong? I don't think so. Now, they expected the hall would double the amount of Biden's campaign raised at New York City fundraiser last week. Biden's star-studded event at Radio City Music Hall, which featured former President Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, raised over $25 million. Isn't that interesting how that works out? Donald Trump's having trouble fundraising. He's having all kinds of money problems. Joe Biden has this event. It's a big deal. He gets $25 million, and then Donald Trump has one that we hadn't really heard about, that nobody's really showed up to but Donald Trump, and now he's getting $50 million, exactly double what Joe Biden got. This sounds like bullshit to me. This sounds like Donald Trump trying to placate his ego. So it's probably a lie. He said, tonight will be an incredible night for President Trump and the Republican Party, raising an astounding $50.5 million. Trump campaign senior advisor Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles said in a statement. Meanwhile, after locking up the nomination in one of the fastest primaries in modern political history, Donald J. Trump is winning poll after poll and proving that enthusiasm is on his side. Yeah, you keep telling yourself that Donald Trump has no chance of losing. Even if he did outraise Joe Biden and he's not even close, he's not going to win. Hell, he may not survive this trial coming up on April 15th, which is which is 8 days away, just over a week. I've said the event will boost Trump's campaign, the Republican National Committee. This is Save America PAC and state GOP parties under the joint fundraising agreement. Oh, do you think Donnie's going to spread out? If there is any money, if there's any real money, do you think he's going to give it to other folks, the RNC? He's draining the RNC. He's going to pocket all of it, help nobody, and I'm cool with that. I still don't think he's going to get a ton of money because if he does, even if he does get money, it's all going to go to his legal problems and not to the campaign. Let's see. This is what Donnie wrote. Biggest night in fundraising of all time. We'll double up the Biden number of last week at Radio City Hall, Radio City Music Hall. People are desperate for change. They want to make America great again. DJT, Trump wrote in Saturday's Post. This sounds pathetic, doesn't it? Is it just me or does this sound like it's not real? The media will report it. $50 million. You got $50 million because Donald Trump told you he got $50 million. Please, motherfucker, are you going to continue? Are you going to continue to believe his bullshit? And as I've said before, this stuff gets out in the narrative. It bounces around a lot. And sometimes Democrats believe this. You're falling right into the trap of the Republican Party, the trap that they've caught you in for decades. They tell you something is true and you buy into it just because you've heard it so many times. Don't listen to this bullshit. Be smarter than that. Be smarter than a fucking Republican and understand this is all bullshit. All right. House Speaker Emeritus Nancy Pelosi. This is interesting. Has split with President Joe Biden by joining progressives in their calls to halt both current and future U.S. weapons transfer to Israel. That's interesting. Nancy Pelosi siding with progressives. If you remember, she's had all kinds of problems with progressives in the past, and it's surprising that she would do this, but maybe not so surprising. Joe Biden's trying to ride the fence a little bit, do what he can, put pressure on Netanyahu, but they are still sending weapons to Israel because they're an ally and that's what they do. But the thing about it is he made the threat to Netanyahu and I haven't seen him do anything yet. So Joe Biden has to do something to make a point. Now, I don't know how he's legally obligated for sending arms and giving money and support to Israel by virtue of them being an ally, but he's going to have to put his foot down solidly on the neck of Netanyahu. This guy's a nutball. This guy is Donald Trump in Israel, and he is a danger not only to the people in Gaza, but to this world. He can start some shit that could cause some big problems, and he needs to be neutralized. I know the people of Israel want to get him out of there, but Jesus Christ, he was put into office twice. The fuck? 40 members of Congress signed a letter to Biden dated Friday stating that the deadly attack on World Central Kitchen aid workers necessitates investigation into whether Israel is using U.S. weaponry in compliance with U.S. and international law. Now, Pelosi's support, though, is particularly significant given her long working relationship with Biden. Seven aid workers who had coordinated their movements with the Israeli military and traveled in clearly marked vehicles were struck Monday and killed, stirring further global outrage. Now, one of the workers was an American citizen. All were working to feed Palestinians in the Gaza Strip as it faces famine. So people are getting upset about this, and I think rightfully so. There has to be some accountability to Netanyahu, and Joe Biden's got to do something. He's in a tough spot. As I said, we're an ally to Israel, and we have a responsibility to support them. But
if this guy is going to purposely go out and kill citizens and not care what the collateral damage is, something needs to be done. I just don't know what that is. But Joe Biden better figure it out, because if we keep sending weapons and they keep killing citizens or civilians, that's not a good look. Not a good look for America or Joe Biden at all. Now, apparently, on the day of the World Central Kitchen attack, the Biden administration reportedly approved an arms shipment that included hundreds of 2,000-pound bombs and other smaller bombs. A sale up to 50 F-15 fighter jets is also reportedly pending. Now, in this letter, it was said, "We strongly urge you to reconsider your recent decisions to authorize the transfer of a new arms package to Israel and to withhold this and any future offensive arms transfers until a full investigation into the airstrike is completed. If this strike is found to have violated U.S. or international law, we urge you to continue withholding these transfers until the responsible are held accountable." It continued, "We also urge you to withhold these transfers if Israel fails to sufficiently mitigate harm to innocent civilians in Gaza, including aid workers, and if it fails to facilitate or arbitrarily deny or restrict the transport and delivery of humanitarian aid into Gaza." Now, some of the other signers were Jamal Brown, Cori Bush, Debbie Dingell, Barbara Lee, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib. These are more the progressive folks. Biden has voiced strong support for Israel since Hamas-led militants killed more than 1,100 people in the October 7th attack. Now, Biden's tone has shifted a little bit this past week during a discussion with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He called for an immediate ceasefire and told Netanyahu that future U.S. support will depend on what Israel does to protect citizens and aid workers in the Gaza Strip. He said the current situation is unacceptable. Now, Biden made this threat, but there was no particular specifics given. I think he was going to see if they were going to call Joe's Bluff. Basically, what he said is, you got to stop this shit or shit's going to happen. He's hoping against hope that that's enough of a threat for them to do something. I don't know that it is with somebody as crazy as Netanyahu. They may actually have to do something. And the question is Biden willing to do it? And what parameters does he have in order to do it, given the situation of being an ally with Israel? This is a tough deal. I don't know what Joe's going to do, but I hope he does the right thing. We've got to somehow get Netanyahu out of the fucking narrative, because he is the real problem here. I'll say he's the problem with Hamas. Hamas is a fucking terrorist organization, and they are a problem too. The big problem here is we've got people that aren't thinking about innocent people. They don't care about innocent people. And as I've said, I don't pick sides in this thing because I don't have a dog in the race. The only side I will support are those innocent people that are viciously being killed by crazy motherfuckers. All right. Journalists covering Donald Trump's latest rounds of rallies as he heads toward the 2024 Republican Party presidential nomination are growing increasingly alarmed, not only at the dark turn some of the proposals have taken, but also his increasing incoherence when he tries to explain them to his adoring fans. That sound like a guy who has a record-breaking fundraising night? I don't know. Now, reacting to some of the latest claims the former president has made as he tours the country, Susan Glasser of The New Yorker recently wrote, "It's easiest to understand the threat that Trump poses to American democracy most clearly when you see it for yourself. Small clips of his craziness can be too easily dismissed as the background noise of our times." Now, according to The Guardian's Rachel Leingang, Glasser is onto something as Trump's rhetoric reaches new levels of vindictiveness. While speaking in dark, dehumanizing terms as he rambles and jumps from topic to topic at his rallies. Noting that the former president is much more vengeful this time after losing in 2020 to President Joe Biden, Leingang pointed out he's also quite frankly rambling and incoherent, running off on tangents that would grab headlines for the oddness should any other candidate speak them. Watching a Trump speech in full better shows what it's like inside his head, a smorgasbord of falsehoods, personal and professional vendettas, frequent comparisons to other famous people, a couple of handfuls of simple policy ideas, and a lot of non sequiturs that veer into barely intelligible stories. She suggested before adding, in a presidential race among two old men, that's often focused on age of the one who's slightly older. These campaign trail antics shed light on Trump's mental acuity, even if people tend to characterize them differently than Joe Biden's. Yeah. Donald Trump is without question losing it. You see it in his Truth Social posts. You hear it in his voice when he's talking. You can see it in his face. This guy is a troubled guy. This guy is not a healthy man. And he's a problem. He's a big problem, not only for the Republican Party, and make no mistake, he is a problem for the Republican Party, but also for this country and for the entire security of the world. He is that dangerous. This just isn't Democratic rhetoric trying to talk shit about Donald Trump. Everything we see from Donald Trump is dangerous. It's things we've never seen before from a president. And we should note the red flags and make sure that he comes nowhere near the Oval Office in 2024. And as I've told you before, I don't think that's a worry. I don't think that's going to happen. As much as Donald Trump wants you to think that the polls are on his side, he's collecting all kinds of money, it's mostly bullshit. You have to understand, for seven and a half years, we've heard nothing but bullshit. Oh, I've got a health plan. Oh, I've got an infrastructure plan. Oh, I'm going to win in 2020. There's going to be a red wave in 2022. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit, and people have to stop giving it credibility. Donald Trump has no credibility. He has no integrity. He has no interest in helping the country or the people in it. He's interested in one thing, and that's saving his sorry fucking ass, his sorry dirty diaper ass. And he's not going to even be able to do that because Donald Trump does nothing but fail. Some people will push back at me when I say that, but just look at the last couple of weeks. He's done nothing but failed. Even that situation where he was going to get $6 billion and be redeemed, looks like that's not happening now. Because once again, Donald Trump always fails. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to listen. I hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.